Record number 837. The Words of Exodus. Subprior, Jeremiah. A great thing has happened on this glorious day. Exodus, after releasing a rather surprising and long-winded puff of flatulence, decided to speak to us again. Naturally, the trumpet fanfare that preceded the words had all of our attentions. I am happy to be the very first to write about it. The following was his words. If those who choose do not wait for fulfillment, then they might as well give up entirely. Even several hours after hearing those words, they yet rattle in my mind. No doubt we monks of the Monastery of Exodus shall be pulling them apart for the next couple of weeks. I cannot even begin to decide the meaning of these words. When the ceaseless thinker speaks, he does so in short bursts after spending sometimes days contemplating what to say at all. We cannot be presumptuous and decide what the meaning is merely a moment after hearing it. We have to spend just as much time as he has, if not more, before the truth of the saying is made clear to us. So that this record does not seem too short, I want to go over some past sayings from the dragon and what we have since discovered. Abbot Tyrrell should be pleased with this once it is complete. He had asked me to do this recently, and Prior Andrew agreed with him. Before I begin, I would ask the reader of this 837th record to sit down and take a moment to relax. Even the explanation of these sayings can be very hard to comprehend at times. Perhaps sitting in front of the great donut of Exodus in a state of meditation shall help. It has always helped me. But we must now begin. Saying number one. If a horse cannot find water, help the water find the horse. Although I was not entirely certain of what the dragon was referring to when he spoke of a horse, Abbot Tyrrell informed me that it was a long-extinct animal from a bygone age, and apparently water was very important to them. And I think here that the word important must be very seriously examined. Indeed, this horse was thirsty and seemed a bit ill at ease to find the water that he needed so much. But how does one train water, a clearly inanimate substance, to leap gleefully into the horse's mouth? But then we were taking the saying much too literally. Surely the ceaseless thinker cares little about animals who no longer drink and their drinking problems. No. Obviously, this was a parable about how we must dedicate ourselves to taking care of and giving praise to Exodus himself. For it is only through him that wisdom will be obtained. And I think that if you simply consider the saying along with its true interpretation, you shall come to see that it is very true. Saying number two. We must not worry about the empty boxes. We must only put them where they shall be better stacked. I have to admit that this one had us scratching our heads for nearly a month's time. The ceaseless thinker sounded as if he was talking about something unrelated. We were doubly distracted when, after saying it, he proceeded to devour the screaming form of Monk Paul. He did not even chew. So after swallowing the man up, we could, for many minutes, still hear the muffled sounds of his cries and see the bumps and kicks against his distended belly. But at least one of our monks managed to write it down so that we would all be capable of learning its meaning. The final consensus was of the nature of emptiness and how we are uncomfortable with it. And it took us a long time to realize that the subsequent eating of Monk Paul was, as a matter of striking fact, part of the message. Exodus does not enjoy feeling empty. He does not even like to think of being empty. That is why it is up to us monks to provide him with stuffing whenever he requires it. Despite his screams, I am very sure that Monk Paul was quite happy as his spiritual self was looking deep into the greatness of the universe found within Exodus. with the risk of mixing metaphors, I see the difference between Monk Paul's animal reaction to being eaten and his internal joy of seeing eternity within Exides to be similar to the empty boxes being stacked. Yes, his body was not empty, but his soul was stacked beautifully with all the other monks who had made a similar sacrifice. Oh, how very beautiful that sounds. There are days when I wish to jump into that wonderful donut and see what Monk Paul saw. But not till my chosen time has come. Saying number 3. Optimism is to the virtuous as virtue is to the tight-lipped. Oh, I think we can all agree that the final word in this saying, that being tight-lipped, is the confusing part of the saying. There was also some worry that we did not hear the final word correctly, because Exides had hiccuped at the moment he was saying it. We begged him to restate the saying so that we could be sure, but he fell asleep and never repeated it again. We monks sometimes have arduous tasks when things like this happen. We can't just throw a saying away. We have to interpret it the best that we can. I believe this saying took 4 months to process, with an effort that even involved Abbot Terrell. The final consensus was that it is okay to hope to have your body inserted into Exides, but that you should be silent about it. Outside of these records, of course. Abbot Terrell instated a silence policy shortly after this revelation. We no longer discuss what will happen within the Great Dragon anymore. I think this is for the best. Nevertheless, I still wonder about that hiccup. Saying number 4. I'm a nightingale. I'm a chicken. I'm quite the lovely Dickens. So we just about gave up on this one. The saying occurred when Monk Oleander, after mistakenly letting a hammer fly out of his hand, accidentally assaulted the large head of our great ceaseless thinker. It smacked him quite hard while the dragon slept, and woke him up long enough to say those words. Half of us were worried that he had really been badly hurt, and the other half were busily writing down the words and openly discussing what the meaning could possibly be. One Monk Dale mentioned that he may have just lost his mind for a moment and said gibberish. Well, after we shoved the offensive monk into the dragon's giant anus, we all got together and racked our brains in trying to solve this riddle. The saying came in the form of a crude poem. Poems were meant to be beautiful. A nightingale is a beautiful bird, but a chicken is not. Yet perhaps the poem itself gives all things beauty. The final part of the saying seemed self-aggrandizing. But how could we not agree with him? Exides simply wanted us to consider that he is the beauty of the birds and of our minds. Beauty could not exist without him. Yes, many of these sayings cause us much trouble, but if we cannot work hard to interpret them, what are we doing up here? We must remain steadfast in our duties, and any offense to Exides needs to be punished with the proper amount of admonishment. As with poor Monk Oleander, he was forced into donut cleaning duties for the next month after the unfortunate hammer incident. If he is lucky, Exides will feel the need to sit and take him into the next world. Maybe then he shall see that what we call punishment is something we all truly envy. This ends my record. I live to serve the great Exides. I shall do so until I am summoned to exist within him eternally. Sub-Prior Jeremiah.